Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Haman, the chief advisor to Xerxes, the king of the Persian Empire, is deeply offended by a Jewish court official's refusal to bow before him. In his pride and arrogance, he does not merely seek to take revenge on this man, named Mordecai, alone, but decides to punish all the Jewish people throughout the kingdom. He devises a sinister plot to have all the Jews annihilated on a specific date, using lots, called Purim, to determine the time for the extermination. Haman is invited to a private banquet hosted by the queen. On his way home, he sees Mordecai, whom he does not know is the queen's cousin. He determines that he will ask the king for permission to kill Mordecai immediately, long before the day slated for the massacre of the Jewish people. However, when he gets to the royal court to make his request, the king asks him what should be done for the man whom the king wants to honor. Believing that the king wants to reward him, Haman responds enthusiastically.
Excellent! Quick! Take the robes and my horse, and do just as you have said for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the gate of the palace. Leave out nothing you have suggested.
Haman is shocked. He stands speechless before the king, unable to move. How could this be? How could the king possibly see anything of worth in Mordecai, let alone want to honor him in this way? And how can he possibly be the one to publicly elevate his enemy? He wants to say no. He wants to find a way out. But he understands that the word of the king is law, so reluctantly, he makes the arrangements. Receiving the royal robes, he puts them on Mordecai, places him on the king's own horse, and leads him through the city square, shouting,
"This is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor."
Mordecai can hardly keep himself from laughing as Haman takes him around the city. After this spectacle, which lasts for hours, Mordecai returns to the palace gate, but Haman hurries home, dejected and completely humiliated.
"I heard what happened. Are you all right?"
"Am I all right? Of course I'm not all right. I smell like the king's horses. My robes are stained with sweat and dust. I am exhausted from walking around for hours in front of this loathsome man. People laughed at me."
"I have a bad feeling about this feud that you have with Mordecai. If you continue to oppose him, you may end up undone."
"I still intend to see him hanging from those gallows."
"Is it worth it if this dispute destroys you?"
"This is more than a dispute. This is the height of insolence."
"It seems that the gods might favor him."
"I had one bad day, and now you think the gods are turning against me."
While Haman and his wife are discussing Mordecai, eunuchs dispatched by the queen arrive to take him to the queen's banquet. For the second day in a row, the king and Haman go to Queen Esther's banquet. And they are treated to an even more impressive meal. On this occasion, again while they are drinking wine, the king speaks to Esther.
"Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom. No more stalling."
"If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people be spared. For my people, and I, have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I could remain quiet, for that would be too trivial a matter to warrant disturbing the king. However, I have asked you here today to seek your mercy."
"Who would do such a thing? Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you? Any assault on you is an assault even on my house."
"This wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy."
Haman grows pale, with fright, before the king and queen. Esther is a Jew? This is a catastrophic failure of intelligence. His heart begins to pound in his chest. The king glowers at him, jumps to his feet, in a rage, and storms out into the palace garden. Haman stays behind to plead for his life with Queen Esther, for he knows that the king intends to kill him. In despair, he falls on the couch where Queen Esther is reclining, just as the king returns from the palace garden.
Will he even assault the queen right here in the palace, before my very eyes? Attendants, seize this man. Cover his face. I cannot bear to even look at him.
Haman has set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall in his own courtyard. He intended to use it to impale Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination.
Mordecai? The man whom I declared that we should honor this very day? Who does this Haman think he is? How could I have been so stupid to make him my chief vizier? As for that pole, impale Haman on it.
So they impale Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsides. On that same day, King Xerxes gives the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Then Mordecai is brought before the king, for Esther has told the king how they are related. The king takes off his signet ring, which he has taken back from Haman, and gives it to Mordecai. And Esther gives Mordecai charge over Haman's property.
What a turn of events! Today you were paraded around the city, as the man whom the king desires to honor. And tonight, he has made you vizier in place of Haman.
I am humbled by the honor. But Hadassah, our troubles remain. The king's decree still stands.
The next morning, Esther goes to the royal court, without an invitation. She walks in before the king, and falls down at his feet, with tears in her eyes. Again the king holds out the golden scepter to the queen. She rises and stands before him.
If it please the king, and if I have found favor with him, and if he thinks it is right, and if I am pleasing to him, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of Haman son of Hammedatha the Agagite, who ordered that Jews throughout all the king's provinces should be destroyed. For how can I endure to see my people and my family slaughtered and destroyed?
Is Mordecai here with you?
I am, Your Majesty.
You can come in too. I understand the plight that you are in and I want to help. Mordecai, you are my chief vizier. You are authorized to act in my name. So, go ahead and send a message to the Jews in the king's name, telling them whatever you want, and seal it with the signet ring that I have given you. But remember that whatever has already been written in the king's name and sealed with his signet ring can never be revoked.
That very day, the king's secretaries are summoned, and a decree is written, exactly as Mordecai dictates. It is sent to the Jews and to the highest officers, the governors, and the nobles of all the 127 provinces, stretching from India to Ethiopia. The decree is written in the scripts and languages of all the peoples of the empire, including that of the Jews. The decree is written in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the king's signet ring. Mordecai sends the dispatches by swift messengers who ride fast horses, specially bred for the king's service. The king's decree gives the Jews in every city across the empire authority to unite to defend their lives on the 13th day of the 12th month. They are allowed to kill, slaughter, and annihilate anyone of any nationality or province who might attack them or their children and wives, and to take the property of their enemies. In every province and city, wherever the king's decree is read, the Jews rejoice and have a great celebration and declare a public festival and holiday. And many of the people of the land become Jews themselves, for they fear what the Jews might do to them. And so, at last the 13th day of the 12th month arrives. This is the day on which the extermination of the Jews had been authorized. This is also the day on which the Jews are authorized to defend themselves. Throughout the empire, Jews gather in their cities to attack anyone who tries to harm them. But almost no one takes a stand against them, for most are afraid of them. The new chief vizier, second in command in the entire empire, is now Mordecai, a Jew and the queen's cousin, and no official wants to offend either of them.
You sent for me, your lord?
The Jews have killed 500 men in the city of Susa alone, as well as Haman's 10 sons. What more do you want? It will be granted to you, tell me and I will do it.